We're about to have church in here today, huh? It's pretty awesome. If you have a Bible, I want you to go and find the book of Leviticus. So if you're going to preach about older people, you might as well go to the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? Hey! While you're turning there, I found a list of top 10 ways to know that you're getting old. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. I love this one. You have a party at your house, and the neighbors don't even realize it. You quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks into the room. You know you're getting old when your investment in health insurance is finally beginning to pay off. Your little black book contains a lot of phone numbers, but they all end in MD. You finally get it all together, but then you can't remember where you put it. Your pacemaker opens the garage door whenever you see a 65 Mustang drive by. Here's another good one. You try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks and discover you're not wearing any. Oh, man. The gleam in your eye is just the sun reflecting on your bifocals. And top 10 way you know you're getting old, you wake up looking like your driver's license picture. Yeah, all right. Now listen, here's something that you need to know or might want to know about the older generation. You say, why are we talking about this? Do you understand that people over 50 are the fastest growing segment of the American population? This is the part we don't realize, that this age group in our country is growing faster than any other age group. Someone turns 50 every 6 seconds. I mean, didn't you just feel that? I mean, count to six. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, man. You know, they turn 50 every 6 seconds. And watch this. People over 50 account for 43% of all U.S. households. People over 85 are the fastest growing segment of American population, and they're expected to increase 7 times by the middle of this century. And here's something that just blows my mind. There are currently 65,000 people who are 100 years of age and older, and this number is projected to grow to 381,000 by the year 2030. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So there are a lot of this generation among us. There are about to be a lot more. And for those of you that are under the age of 50, say, this message doesn't apply to me. This message is for the rest of us because it's very, very important for us to understand. But there's some notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along with the message here this morning. As we talk about generations and we start this series today, I hope you understand that the goal of these next 3 Sundays is so that we can learn to honor and bless every generation. Right? We want to, as a church, we want to be the church that has every generation, that blesses every generation. And we'll talk about why here in just a moment. But let's talk about what does the Bible say about this generation that we are honoring here today? The Bible says very clearly that we're supposed to honor those who are older. What does the Bible say about this generation? Honor them. Leviticus 19, verse 32. I'm reading from the King James. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. This is when King James gets really fun. You know, honor the hoary head is what the Bible says. Pastor, what is that? Well, that's a King James word for gray hair, all right? But how many know no longer will you use the term gray hair? You're going to look in the mirror and say, that's a hoary head, right? Gray-headed. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, I've noticed you've got a little gray in your hair. Well, I had a revelation a few days ago. Tracy asked me, we were getting ready for the day. She asked me, she said, honey, have you been using the blue shampoo? I said, yeah. She goes, do you understand that that is hair lightening shampoo? I said, well, that explains it. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. The Bible says that we're supposed to honor the aged, honor those who are older than us. Now, 2 reasons why. Why should we honor the aged? First of all, number one is the Bible says to honor people who are older is to fear the Lord. It's right there in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Let's read it in a more modern translation, New Living Translation. It says, show your fear of God by standing up in the presence of elderly people and showing respect for the aged. I am the Lord. This little verse in the Old Testament reminds us that when we respect elders, it's the same as showing respect for God. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. And I think if we're all honest, we'll all agree. You know what? That's true. The more we fear God, the more we'll honor those who are older than us. How many know a people that appreciates and respects its elderly has a good foundation for those who are coming behind them? Nod your head if you're with me. How many know you can honor the past and still have hope for the future? Right? And so the Bible says that one way to know that a culture has lost its fear of the Lord is when it begins to disrespect and dismiss those who are older. So why should we honor them? Because the Bible says it's to fear God. Number two, the Bible says to honor older people is to value and to gain wisdom. Job chapter 12, verse 12, he says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? How many know the longer you live, the more you understand, right? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Now listen, God says one of the smartest things you can do is to honor those who are older than you. God says that's wisdom. That's smart. Can I tell you that if you're here and you're a young married couple and maybe you've fallen on some hard times, maybe there's some rocky times in your relationships, one of the smartest things you can do is find an older couple who've been doing it right for a while, right? And sit down with them and say, hey, can you tell us how it works? Can you show us? Can you speak into our lives? Sometimes young married folks, they want to be getting advice from other folks who are also in trouble. Oh, you know, we need some wisdom, right? I would rather learn from somebody who's been there and done that. The Bible says that's wise. Teenager, one of the best conversations you'll ever have. Young adult, listen to me. One of the best conversations you'll ever have is to sit across the table from an elderly person, a retired person, and say, in your years, what have you learned about life? That great theologian, Mickey Rooney, put it this way. The best classroom in the world is sitting at the feet of an elderly person. Now, I want you to listen closely to me because too many churches are making the mistake of ignoring the older generation. In an effort to reach the younger generation, they cast aside the feelings, the opinions, and the voices of the older generation. Matter of fact, there are some people here today who have had this experience in your church life where a young pastor comes in and begins to change things up. He changes everything. And when you begin to talk to him about it, the response that you got was, if you don't like it, you can leave. I can assure you that will never happen here. That will never happen at this church. As one seasoned saint explained it, old folks are worth a fortune. They have silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, stones in their kidneys, lead in their feet, and gas in their stomachs. I probably should have used that one for the offering. That makes more sense now, doesn't it? You've gone through a lot in your lifetime. You survived wars and depression, and changes the like most of us will never even be able to imagine. You went from Model Ts to space shuttles, from party lines to cell phones. Many of you have lived in the BC era, before computers. Your grandkids can't believe you once lived without a remote control, much less without television. Some of you can remember life before electricity came to your house or indoor plumbing. And some of you, the only running water you had was when you carried the bucket from the well really, really fast. You lived with lead paint and leaded gasoline, and somehow you survived, right? And you even stood up in the middle of the front seat of the car driving down the road. That was before it was illegal. Now it's illegal. Don't be doing that anymore. You grew up with prayer in school. and paddlings at home. I'm going to take issue with paddlings at home. I never got a paddling. I got a whipping. That's a whole different deal. Can I get a witness in that? Paddle. Paddle me all day long. I'll take a paddle. Don't whip me. That's a different deal. All right. You worked hard. You persevered. You survived. You went to Sunday school. And that's why you know what flannel graph is. Teenagers, hang with me. I know I'm speaking a foreign language to you, but just hang with me, okay? Many of you have taught children's classes. You've led youth activities. You've sung in the choir. You've worked behind the scenes to make the church what it is today. You've given so faithfully. You've served so sacrificially. You survived 1,000 changes in the church world. You've seen it all. You've lived the life of faith when many around you did not. You've lived to see the fruit of your faithfulness, and we honor you for that. Most of all, we honor the God that you've pointed us to for so many years. It's because of you that we're here today. And that's why you are the greatest generation. Church, would you help me honor and put your hands together and bless this generation of men and women who have gone before us and made a way for us. Come on, I want you to bless them real good. Acknowledge them here this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, let me hear you. The greatest generation. Awesome. Here's what Paul says in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. He continues this theme in the New Testament with respect for those who are older, specifically concerning parents. He says, so that it will go well with you, and so that your days will be long upon the earth. Why should we honor those who are older? The Bible says, so that it will go well with you. How many would like it to go well with you? I would like it to go well with me. And I would like my days to be long upon the earth. Did you know the Japanese have a long history of honoring older people? In fact, every third Monday of September, there's a national holiday in Japan called Respect for the Aged Day. It's a day when one shows appreciation for the longtime contributors of society. They celebrate their longevity and pray for their health. Now watch this. Is it a coincidence then that the Japanese have the longest life expectancy in the entire world? Paul says, honor them so that it will go well with you and so that your days will be long upon the earth. Teenager, I just prolonged your life. I just gave you the key to a blessed life. Some of you, let me go ahead and switch gears and talk to some of you younger folks. Listen, if you want to live a hard life, if you want obstacles at every turn, if you want to be upset and frustrated and angry the rest of your life, continue to disrespect those who are older than you, and God will make sure there are obstacles in your way. All right? You don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. So just maybe the light will come on for some of you here today and say, you know what? If I'll just shut my mouth, right? If I'll just learn to show respect, maybe, just maybe, it will go well with me. Matter of fact, the Bible says it will. Come on, somebody, say amen. Amen. So that means that we should honor them, right? We should defer to them. We should be patient with them. Open the door for them. Listen to their stories. It's going to take a while for them to tell their stories, but go ahead and listen. Don't rush past them in the grocery store or the sidewalk. I'm preaching now. Go ahead and say, yes, sir, and no, ma'am. It will mean a lot to them. If you do, listen to me, God will honor you. If you honor them, God will honor you. And if you don't, it's not going to go well with you. That's what God says about this generation. So what does God say to this generation? He says a lot. There's a lot in the Bible that is directed to those who are older in their age. The first thing that God says to you is, God's not done with you. God is not done with you because you turned 50. He's not done with you because you turned 65 or 75 or 85. I don't know if there's anybody here older than 85. There might be a couple, but here's the word of the Lord for you. He's not done with you. How do you know that? Well, in Joshua chapter 14, we read about a man named Caleb. He is one of those spies that had faith to go into the promised land. And here's what he says. He says, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. I'm calling you the Caleb generation. You are the Caleb generation, which means God is far from done with you. You have faith to give. You have faith to exert. You have mountains to climb. You have things to possess yet in the kingdom of God. Some might say in the younger generation, you know what? The older generation just needs to blend into the background and get out of the way and just ride out into the sunset. But that's not God's word for this generation. Some in the older generation might say, you know what, Pastor, I've done enough. I've had my turn. I've taught Sunday school. I've drove the bus. I did all of these things. It's time for the younger generation to step up and take my place. Well, that sounds good. It's just not in the Bible, which means it's not biblical. Everybody say, God's not done with me. So I want to challenge everybody in this church family who is older to be like Caleb. I may be older, but God's not done with you yet. And let me just go ahead and say, as your pastor, we need you. We need you in this church family. We need you at Grace Assembly of God. We honor you, and we want you here to be part of our spiritual family. There's an old song we used to sing in church. See, Pastor, older than the ones we sung earlier? Some of you might remember this. It says, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Anybody remember that old song? I think that's God's word for us today. Keep us true. Look at Psalm chapter 71, verse 18. Here's God's word to this generation. Even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Listen to me, the older generation has a direct command from Scripture to build a bridge to the generation coming after them. Do you see that in the Scripture? The Bible says that your job is to bless the generation coming after you, to declare God's word to them, to include them in your life. The older generation cannot say to the younger generation, we were faithful. Good luck with whatever comes next. We did it. I hope you make it. The older generation can't say, now here are the methods that we responded to when we were young. And so if you look like us and you dress like us and you sing the songs that we sang, like we sang this morning, right? If you talk like us, then we'll pass on the faith to you and you can know God. And because they work for us, they should work for you as well. If the older generation is determined that the church has to look just like them, the church will die. That's why the psalmist said, your job is to declare the works of God to the next generation. Are you with me so far? It's really quiet in here. A few years ago, I met a pastor in Dallas, Texas by the name of J. Don George. Isn't that a great pastor named J. Don George? He was in his 80s. He is in his 80s. He's still with us. I follow him on Twitter, by the way. More than 40 years ago, he planted a church outside Dallas, Texas, that has grown to thousands and thousands of people. A few years ago, he decided it was coming to time for him to have a succession plan in place for his church. And so what he did is he handpicked the next pastor for his church. Now, here's a pastor nearing his 80s at that time who handpicked the pastor of the next pastor of the church, and he was 30 years old. He was a young man that had grown up in his church. As a matter of fact, Pastor George had dedicated him as a baby. Watched him grow up in the nursery, watched him grow up in the youth ministry, He did the wedding for the young man and his wife. Literally saw him grow up. And put into place this succession plan where this almost 80-year-old pastor passes off to a 30-year-old young man. And guess what the 30-year-old pastor did? He changed a lot of stuff. The worship, some of the culture, some of the different things that they did. And the church has continued to go on and on and on with the blessing of Pastor George. And I heard him say these words. I will never forget them. He says, Pastor, he was talking to a room full of pastors. He says, if your church does not change, your church will die. In a report from the spiritual life group that was assigned to study generational issues, here's what they said. No church has a future unless its dreams are bigger than its memories. No church has a future unless its dreams are bigger than its memories. If our conversations are always the good old days, if our conversations are always, well, this is how it used to be, you can be assured that not much is going to happen in that church. But if the conversation is, yes, we praise God for what he's done, but we believe he's going to do even more, how many know life is going to become part of that church? Throughout the Bible, we see clearly that each generation is called to build on the foundation passed on from the previous ones. Are you still with me? You were shouting me down earlier. Now it's really quiet. What this means in our local church context is that in each generation, we need each other. In each generation, we need one another to be a healthy spiritual family and to see Jesus' mission in the church to go forward. Because God's kingdom is for every generation. I said, God's kingdom is for every generation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. The last days outpouring that Peter's talking about is an intergenerational outpouring. It's not just for the older. It's for the younger. It's for the middle aged. It's for everybody. He says, young men and young women and old men and old ladies are going to be poured out, and God is going to do a great work in their lives. The kingdom of God has always been about intergenerational relationships. Can I tell you that Christ's body, the local church, therefore should include and involve every generation? The local church, the family of God, us, should include and involve every generation. In Titus chapter 2, Paul is giving some instructions to Titus, the pastor, overseer of some churches there on the island of Crete. Some of you in your small groups are going to be talking about this tonight. Here's what Paul, the instructions that Paul gives to Titus. He says, older men, be sober, reverent, temperate. Older women, likewise, be reverent in behavior. Young women, love your husbands. Young men, be sober-minded. And it goes on all these instructions about the church. I want you to notice that he addresses every generation. He addresses the older, he addresses the younger. Because how many know a strong local church values and involves every generation? Paul is describing the elements of a strong local church. And if you're going to be a strong local church, you need to value and involve every generation. I guess I'm going to have to preach myself happy now and say amen, all right? Listen, I heard someone say recently, you know what? If you have a church that is focused on one generation or one age group, you have ceased to be a church and you have become a ministry. Think about that. Because the church of Jesus Christ is every generation. That's a healthy church described in the New Testament. Do you see that? Ross Parsley wrote a book called Messy Church. Ross Parsley, not Rod Parsley. Here's what he says. A church should be a place where people of all different ages come together in the same way as families come together around the dinner table. Isn't that great? Let me read that again. A church should be a place where people of all different ages come together in the same way as families come together around the dinner table. The church, the body of Christ, is called the family of God in 1 Peter 2:17 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We even used to sing that in the olden days. I'm so glad
I'm a part of the family of God.
We're a family, right? If you were singing the more modern version, I guess it would go, we are family. I don't know. I'm not sure. That came out of nowhere. It probably shouldn't have come, so let's keep going. If we're a family, then by definition, a family has older and younger, all at the same table, right? That's how it works. And every part of the family is important. Every age group is important because every part of the family brings value to the family. Here's another thing that Ross Parsley said in his book. He said, the family analogy is the best picture of what a healthy and vibrant church community is supposed to look like. If you think about it, families are perfectly designed for discipleship. Constant access, consistent modeling, demonstration, teaching and training, conflict management and resolution, failure, follow-up and feedback. And this should all happen in an attitude of love. Children are raised, parents are matured, and grandparents are valued all at the same time. This is God's family, God's plan. Are you with me today? Gary McIntosh wrote an article in the Richmond Journal. Here's what he said. He said, vital growing churches in the next decade will be those that can successfully reach, win, and keep multiple generations. For this to happen in existing churches, leaders need to make bold, long-term plans for blending builders, boomers, busters, and bridgers into a unified church. Of course, there are risks involved in attempting to blend, but the call of Christ, listen to this, to make disciples makes the risks worthwhile. Now, if you haven't listened to anything I've said today, this is the heart of these next 3 weeks. Are you watching this? Pay attention. Listen, why is this a matter of discipleship? Why is being an intergenerational church a matter of discipleship? Because being part of an intergenerational spiritual family increases your spiritual maturity. Translation, it'll help you grow up. Okay, here we go now. I'm preaching now. Intergenerational ministry is a component of discipleship because being intergenerational means I am others-centered, right? It's not always about me. The more spiritually mature I am, the less I'm concerned about myself. Okay, I'm preaching again. And the more I'm concerned about other people. Nowhere is this more evident than in the area of worship. Do I have your attention yet? Pastor, I can't worship to that song. I just don't understand how people can be blessed to that song. Maybe a young person says to the older songs we're singing today, I just don't get it. I can't worship to that song. Or an older, you know, and remember, younger folks, you'll have your day. All right. And you're going to remember what I said. You're going to say, oh, okay, it's not just totally weird around here. It's okay. Some of you older folks, don't you miss that day. I'm pointing my finger at you. Don't you miss that day. Maybe you hear some of the newer songs and you're like, I just can't worship to that song. Do you know what you're saying? What you're effectively saying is worship is about me. My styles, my preferences, what I like. Last I checked, worship is not about you. It's about God, right? Isn't that right? It's not about us. Now, let me just go ahead and say something that might rile you up a little bit. If I haven't done it yet, it might rile you up just a little bit, okay? The reality is, the more mature you are in the faith, the less the style of music means to you in worship. Well, my popularity level was up here and boom, it just dropped. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. The more mature you are in the faith, the less it matters. What matters is people connecting with God. What matters is the attention that we're giving to God. That's, the Bible says, worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say worship him with a piano and organ. It doesn't say worship him with a certain style of, or a certain, it does give some instruments in Psalm 50, so I guess that's a whole other deal. But it doesn't say it has to be your style. Here's our goal at Grace. I'm gonna quit and bring it up next week so I can survive today, all right? I'm going to bring it to a head. Phil, if you'd help me here this morning. Our goal at our church, I want to be very clear. We want to be an intergenerational church on purpose. And this is the first sermon series that God directed me to preach here in this new worship center, because I think it's very strategic. And I think it's very important for us to understand that our goal, because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening. And you're going to ask, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Why did they make that decision? And the answer will many times be is because we want to intentionally touch every generation. What is that going to look like at Grace? Well, we're going to intentionally celebrate what each generation brings to the family of God. That means we're not going to criticize one another. Right? So, older folks, I don't want to hear you say, well, that younger folks, don't do it. Younger folks, I don't want to hear you say, well, that is boring. Don't do it. Value the generation that God brings to your spiritual family. You are sitting at the same table with them. Don't criticize them. Bless them and celebrate what they bring to the table. You should put your hands together and give God praise for that. But that being intergenerational also means that we're going to intentionally learn from each other. We're going to intentionally learn from each other. Now, it's very easy for the older generation. Okay, learn from me. But listen, older folks, you can learn from them as well. And I'm talking about more than just reprogramming your phone when it breaks up. You calling your grandkids, you know you are. But you know what? They can give you insight. They can give you some feedback as well. Let's learn from one another. We're going to intentionally include all generations in leadership at our church. We're going to intentionally dress in our services for every generation. So sometimes I'll be wearing a suit and tie. Sometimes I'll be in jeans. Sometimes I'll be in something in between. I'll never wear shorts because I don't want to be a distraction to you, if you know what I'm saying. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. We're going to worship with every generation in mind. You hear me? We're going to worship with every generation in mind. I have this conversation with every worship pastor candidate I interview. I have this conversation that goes like this. Your job is to ensure that everybody worships. You got to think about every generation, every background when it comes to worship, because when we connect with God, that's when the impossible becomes very real. And you know what else we're going to do as a church? Because we are intergenerational, we are going to bless every generation. We're going to bless them. Now, here's how I'd like to bring this service to a close. I would like to see in this room, a generational blessing to occur, where the older bless the younger and the younger bless the older. I believe Jesus would smile on us this morning if we said, you know what? I'm going to do that. So here's what I'd like to ask you to do. And I'm going to go ahead and preface this by saying, if this makes you too uncomfortable, it's okay. Don't feel bad. But I think a lot of you would like to participate in this. And that is this. If you're over the age of 55, in just a moment, what I'd like you to do is come and line up across the front of the room in here. And I'd like you to line up in that section between the floor and the stadium as well. So just basically come and stand in front of whatever section that you're sitting in. Not yet, but when I say, I want you to come and stand in front of the section that you're sitting in. Okay, and make room. So basically, we're going to have two altars here today. We're going to have it here in the front, and we're going to have it over there between the floor and the stadium. And then after you form a line, then we're going to have those that are 35 years of age and younger. I'd like you to find one of those men or women. I just want you to stand in front of them. and then I'm going to lead you through a blessing. How many know the world needs to see this? How many know the church needs to see this? And get this, you need to see this, because I'm convinced what's happening today is going to change the directory, the trajectory of some people's life. If you're 55 years of age and older, would you come and stand? Just as I said, 55 years of age, come and stand in front of the section that you are sitting in. If you need to spread out, go ahead and do that. Spread out. If some of you that are coming this way could turn around and go to the stadium area, that'd be good, okay? Because we're going to fill this up pretty easy, okay? So just go ahead and line the wall. Line the wall. All right? Go ahead and line up down the aisles, down the walls. Now, those of you that are in the second altar, you're going to face those sections up there, okay? So you're going to turn around and face those sections up there, okay? All right. Now, if you're here and you're 35 years of age or younger, I want you to come and stand in front of one of these men and women here, if you would come today. Come and stand in front of them. Introduce yourself real quick, and I'm going to lead you through a blessing. Those of you that are in those middle ages, I'm just going to say, God bless you. There's a reason they call it middle-aged. All right? So please just take a few moments. Make sure everybody's got somebody standing in front of them. Okay? Some of you have multiples. You have two hands then. Okay. You can either... What I'd like to do is, those of you that are older, I'm going to ask you to speak a blessing over that person standing in front of you. You're going to repeat after me. And then, younger person, some of you are 35 saying, thank you, Pastor, for calling me younger. You're welcome. I'm going to lead you in a blessing as well, that you're going to bless the person standing in front of you. And then we're going to believe that God's Spirit is going to do something supernatural in your heart and life. All right? So you can either join their hand or lay a hand on their shoulder, completely up to you. Older generation, repeat this after me. From this day forward, I bless you and release you to attempt great things for God. Today, I give you my blessing. From me and my generation, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Younger generation, repeat after me. And you may even want to look them in the eye if you can do it. For the life that you've lived, for the sacrifices you've made, for the generosity you've shown, I thank you. My generation thanks you. May my life honor yours. May my generation honor yours. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Just stay still for just a second. Stay still for just a second, because I know some of you want to exchange cell phone numbers and Twitter handles and stuff like that. If you would give me your attention for just 30 more seconds, I just want to say how blessed I am as your pastor to see what I just saw. What you just experienced is very, very rare and very, very awesome. Amen. We can be that church. We really can. And with God's grace, we will be, because we say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about the family of God. So I've got one more old song we're going to sing together. Just one more. Now, I'm a bit of an old soul, okay? I went to sleep at night as a teenager listening to Jimmy Swaggart sing songs. Yeah, I know. That explains a lot about me. I understand. Would you sing this closing doxology song with me? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, Holy. And here's the best part. Amen. I love you. Go with God. Have a great day.